heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
How much do you think patriotism plays into our support and our recognition for our law enforcement and our veterans? You think about how much patriotism plays into our respect. And I've been watching the trends in the surveys or the polls over the last many years. It's always interesting to see how it changes, actually, from one administration to another. You can actually see, the national mood change, just sort of like a sports game. You like when you're watching a football game or a baseball game, you can actually see a city's temperature rise in an interesting way if they win, let's say, for instance, the World Series or the Super Bowl. I mean, people get really, really juiced, and it can actually do a lot for a good city or a good town. People get really excited. It's the same here when you have an election of a new president. The mood changes of the nation, and we've seen that back in the last several administrations. We've seen it with the Obama administration, with the Trump administration. There's a collective movement when it comes to our patriotism, but it also is a movement in our reflection and our respect to our military heroes and our law enforcement. Now, listen, we have seen a lot of things happen over the last really 10 years, and I'll bring it back to really, we all remember the landmark moment of the Ferguson case, and we'll reference that a little bit here, because that was a narrative that changed our respect for law enforcement in a significant way. And the country was traumatized through a lot of that stuff that happened with the hands up, don't shoot kind of business, you know, that came out of that. And then you had the whole Trayvon Martin thing that happened. You remember, and then, of course, President Obama came out and said, that could be my son. And it seemed to me back then, racism was really becoming very blatant. Which actually surprised a lot of us, because we actually thought with the first Black American president and some people, when I say that, by the way, they would remind me and say, no, Malcolm, that's not really the first Black American president. That's the first. He was half white and half Black. And we know that, but it's still the first Black American president, right? So let's put that to rest there. But there was always that question of why did we have that hit of racism? Why did we have the challenges with patriotism? And why was there the respect for law enforcement and veterans was sort of decimated through those years? I mean, I think a lot of us believe that. And if you watch the surveys and the results from Gallup or Pew or any of them, you'll see that it's these are facts. They're not conjecture or opinion. They are facts. And you'll watch where the national mood is. You know, we've seen over the last many years the decimation of our history. We've talked about our historical facts being disjointed and not being shared in the schools and the education system. We've seen our statues and all of the different symbolic measures of our country historically have been toppled, have been stepped on and smashed and ridiculed. And it's happened on college campuses. It's happened in the city square. You know, and you've kind of seen this trajectory happen. And again, it happened many years ago. I always reference to you the local Kmart when you had the manger scene up there, you know, or the 7-Eleven or whatever it is in your neighborhood, right? Yeah. And at one point, we were sort of okay with that. And then that became a real sticking point. You couldn't have that there anymore. And so you've seen this, the moods change. But what I'm saying is there's always a seed you plant. And you don't think of it at the time that it's a problem, but that seed grows. And that's when you end up with problems on a national scale because we didn't address the nerve root of that problem. I think that happens a lot, actually, in America. I think as I've been talking in recent days, a lot of the times it's because we don't think it's our problem. We think we can just ignore it or put it away. So we think it's, you know, it doesn't really affect me. Doesn't affect my neighborhood. Doesn't affect my city, my town, my neighborhood. Yeah. Just like this whole thing of globalism and immigration and all these problems that we talk about on here with you. But today, friends, I have good news. And I like good news because we don't get a hell of a lot of it, do we now? But I got some good news. And the good news is that the respect for law enforcement and our veterans is coming back. And you say, wow, is it really coming back? It is coming back. I think there, I'm going to put that out there in the public square right now for you to take that into your system and the energy in the world. There's respect that's coming back to law enforcement and veterans. Now you say, what are you on? What planet are you on, Malcolm? Well, no, I think there is. I think there's a sense of patriotism with all this. I sort of connect patriotism with our veterans and with law enforcement. And I'll prove it to you. And I'll also prove to you on this program today, and I don't like saying this, what I'm going to say next. In fact, I hate having to say this. In fact, I despise it. And that is that the political left, they're not as patriotic. They don't have the same love and support for law enforcement and our veterans. Well, there I said it, right? I don't like saying that, people. Now you would say, why would you say that? Well, because it's the truth. The truth, it sucks. I know, I get it. The truth can hurt, but it's the truth, sadly. Now, I go and I look at a lot of these stats and you say, well, why are you saying that? Well, I just look at some of the surveys, just some of the stats and the reasoning that you have here. And I, you know, it is perplexing at times as to exactly why. And, you know, one of the terms I've seen as I studied some of this is people say it's baked into the cake. But I started thinking to myself, why is it baked into the cake? Why does it have to be that way? Why is it baked into the cake? That's a question I ask. I hope you'll ask that question as well. But I think it's baked into the cake, people, because it serves the political elite well. I think these are the people I talk to all the time about, the people who are pulling the puppet strings here on the mass majority of the population. Sadly, those are not a lot of the people listening here to the program. Most of the people listening to this program are informed, and they're excited about America. But here's the test. I need to ask your help and support. I need you to invite the other people. Please, I beg you. Invite your Democratic friends to the Voice of a Nation. I keep asking you to do that. Have you invited any recently? Because if we don't get to those people, I can't change any of this. I can keep talking to you, but it's kind of becomes like an echo chamber. That's part of the problem we're having in our country. It's an echo chamber. And you're all guilty of this. You go to the same sources and hear the same stuff of the people you like, who have the same feelings, the same thoughts, the same attitudes that you have. Well, that's what we do here because we get tired of listening to the other side. We don't believe they're rubbish. We don't believe they're garbage. We don't want to listen to their crap. Listen, I don't either. I turn some of the channels on some of those stations and I go into convulsions. I can only take them in small doses. And then I have to leave. I start itching. I get hives all over my body. I want to punch somebody in the face. You can only do that in small doses, people. So we tend to live in echo chambers. We live in echo chambers in this country. That's what we're doing. We do. We like to hear ourselves talk, and we like to hear the people around us like us. And if they don't like us, we get on social media, and we call them names, and we hate them, and they suck. And well, that's the division here. That's part of our ideology. It's part of our upbringing. There are some people who say to me, it's supposed to be that way, Malcolm. Chill, will you? It's supposed to be that way. And I wonder what the hell that means as well. We've like got an overarching 243-year civil war going on here, it seems here. Maybe it is supposed to be that way, people. Maybe that is baked into the cake, as they say, huh? Wow, it's a hell of a thing to think of. But it could be that way. Maybe this is just our destiny, is to fight like little bitches on the playground, right? Maybe that is our destiny. It's a hell of a thing to think of, though, isn't it? That it has to be that way. But I hear a lot of people, and I hear it every election cycle, it's the worst it's ever been. I hear that all the time, and I cringe when I hear that, but then it's become so overused, I don't believe it anymore. And people say, well, this is the worst it's ever been. We're going to hell quickly, fast. And I think, wow, is that baked into the cake as well, I wonder, huh? So I started looking here. I want to talk to you about Gallup a moment here. Interesting, the first time Gallup started asking the question over an 18-year period about patriotism, are you patriotic? and less than a majority of people, just 47%. You'll remember this. This was a stat you were hearing. This just happened some months ago here at the end of last year. This was put out there. And are you proud to be an American? That was the lowest number they'd had in a long time since they started asking the question. So like that's like from the beginning. So that's like, that's the lowest point. Are you proud to be an American? So the editor-in-chief of Gallup, Frank Newport, and he says this. Now listen to this. This is interesting. He says, well, it's no secret America is highly polarized. You think, Frank? That's baked in the cake, Frank. Come on, get with it, right? We see that in most of the different questions that we ask here and at Gallup and that other pollsters ask. And there is a yawning and widening, a yawning gap between Republicans and Democrats. And that's a real key here. Now, to be sure, Republicans have always been more likely to say they're extremely proud to be American than Democrats. Well, there it is. I didn't lie to you. Why is that, though? And then he says here, it's kind of baked into the cake. Now, I've read that. Multiple people are using that baked into the cake phrase. And I'm thinking, wow, I didn't realize it was baked into the cake, people. So to speak, he says, right? So to speak. Yeah, but this year we have 74% of Republicans who say they're extremely proud to be American and only 32% of Democrats. Now, that is some wide, far-reaching numbers, people, 74% to 32%, which he says, which is by far the lowest we've seen among Democrats. So it's that polarized. It's called polarization, right? Well, then, you know, you start to think about this, and the guy that was talking to him, this Chang gentleman, he came back and he said, well, you said that Republicans have consistently every year, in the years they've been polling Americans, Republicans have always been rated more patriotic than Democrats. Newport comes back and says, that's right, and these numbers go back to the Obama years. So this is not just a function of Donald Trump taking over a Republican president. Some of the measure did flip, literally flipped overnight almost. From January to February 2017, when Donald Trump took over, we saw Democrats suddenly become depressed. Republicans were exuberant. But this gap between Republicans and Democrats have been going on even when Barack Obama was in the White House. We've just seen it in the last several years, the gap getting bigger and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so there, in fact, lies the point I was bringing up to you about Republicans and Democrats. But I've been thinking about the left, why they're less patriotic and why they support our military less, why they support our law enforcement left. And then I think back to this whole narrative back in the Obama administration, there was the war on cops came out of that thing. You remember the war on cops? That all came from that era, in fact. And it's just look at the facts, people. That you can't argue this point with me. When I grew up as a little boy, as a young boy, there was an attitude, a good, proudful attitude about being a police officer. In fact, my father-in-law was a police officer, and people were proud of law enforcement. In fact, if you asked young boys about what they wanted to do when they grew up, police officer would be right up at the high part of that list. Astronaut would be there as well, by the way. But police officer was at the near top of that list. But then that started to change. And of course, we've seen that. And that change has been impactful because recruits are down in law enforcement all the way across the board. So that had a big impact, people. No doubt about it. But there was this whole movement where President Obama, he did a lot of harm, actually, to law enforcement. I don't like to say that either, that a president did that. So I hate to give you that truth as well. But I think a lot of you probably know that out there. Now, again, probably our Democratic friends know that as well, but they probably maybe won't admit it. But it's a fact. Obama began stepping up his criticism of the police just around that 2014 election, in fact. It got pretty hot and heavy. And a lot of that was to do around the Ferguson, Missouri. That was the shot heard around the world, in fact. And he became very critical of the police. In fact, there was a lot of crimes against police, a lot of ambushes against police. There was absolutely a war on cops going on, and things were being decimated. And there was a war against our military, our heroes. And then people started kneeling for the flag. And at the sports games, they said, screw you. We don't like this. And they were kneeling and they were upset and they were pissed off. And the administration was playing to that. A lot of people would say, why? I mean, it's not a presidential thing to do. You know, they blame the current president for not being presidential. And, you know, I understand that because he's not really presidential a lot. It depended upon what your narrative of presidential is. Usually it's a stick in the mud. You say what you're supposed to say. You're PC. You shut up and move along. You don't get on Twitter. Yeah, this president doesn't do any of that. So that's the way it is. He's not really presidential. Got it. But Obama wasn't really presidential either. In the way of what he did, if you look at all these stats and figures and numbers, I mean, that's not presidential. Yeah, he'd lie to you. He wouldn't get on Twitter and tell you the truth. So what do you like, a president who tells you the truth and what avenue to get off? Or the one who was, you know, lying for other reasons? You know, he was lying and holding it all back. Or do you want the guy to tell you the truth that gets out there and, you know, tells you what's really going on? And, of course, that upsets a lot of people. It upsets the deep state, upsets all of the politicians. They don't know what to do with the guy. It always comes back to that, doesn't it? It's leadership or lack of leadership in many cases. But I think there are several questions on my mind today, people. It's how does patriotism play into our support for law enforcement and military? What is the public perception of law enforcement? What about our military exactly? And why are Republicans, why is the right specifically, we'll call it, more patriotic than the left? Don't the left love their country as well? And if not, why? Those are big questions. Let's find some answers here.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of America Out Loud.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Dr. Ron Martin is a retired police detective, he's a forensic criminologist, a national voice. Dr. Ron, here's a show, a program on America Out Loud, A Threat of Evidence. His book, I want to point out to you, is in the America Out Loud bookstore and available on Amazon as well. The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. So it is a great book. I mean, he wrote the book on this thing, so he understands this. He studied this. He researched it. He knows. I think more than anything, Dr. Martinelli, is the stance of Republicans and Democrats as I started studying some of this here. I was quite fascinated with the fact, as you really study this now, and you follow these surveys and these bouncing balls. And so I put some revealing things out there. But, I mean, I don't think a lot of people really understand or focus on the fact that the left is less patriotic. They're clearly less patriotic. I just pointed that out. Majorly so. I mean, we're talking, what are those numbers again? I just stated 74% to 32%. That's some significant ground there of patriotism and a lack of it there. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that the left is just less patriotic in America?
Well, I think that just... is as a result of ignorance and a lack of education. And as the younger generations come forward with no context about our American history, I think you're just going to find that, you know, climbing. They don't recognize anything that this president of the United States and his administration have done in just a couple of very short years. They don't have any context back to the civil rights movement. They don't understand our wars. You know, you were talking about military patriotism and support for our military. They can't even tell you when World War II was. They can't tell you when World War I was. And they don't even know what the Korean conflict was. So, you know, that's the problem that we have. You know, my wife, Linda Martinelli, who's a columnist on America Out Loud, wrote a wonderful column equating the politicians that we have in the United States with dysfunctional parents, and we're their children. And so when they act out, when you see the AOCs and the Nancy Pelosi and the Chuck Schumer and the Bill de Blasio's, you know, all, you know, going off hinged, then you're going to see their followers following in step with them. And I think that's just a problem that we have.
The lack of history, the lack of civics, and the lack of basic knowledge is very clear. Now, you have to begin to ask yourself why. Why are they so bent in pulling that out of the schools? Because, you know, we have a lot of beautiful, strong-minded people on our platform, experts, in fact, on this subject matter, who talk about exactly this. And they talk about the fact that this is being pulled out of our education system. And people, if you want to change the trajectory of a nation, if you want to change where a country is going to be 10 years from now, 20 years, you go to your kids, you go to your schools, you begin to change the books. And that's what they've successfully done. But here's what I don't get, which we haven't talked about. And I ask you that question, which I think is pretty profound. And I still don't have an answer as to why the left is less patriotic. But you talk about the civics and the history. I get that. But listen, the Republican kids, they don't have the civics and the history either as well in school. I mean, they're ripped it out of there entirely for everybody across the board. They don't have the Republicans in one class and the Democrats in another. So they're getting the ideology from their parents and their upbringing from their parents. But there's still a disparity here. And it's a massive disparity. We're talking more than 2-1 here, Ron. We're talking, it could go to 3-1 eventually. There's got to be another reason why the left is so unpatriotic and why they support our military and our law enforcement less. Why is that, do you think?
You know, I think they need to be victims. I think they do. And I think in the way that children are raised and they're parented, some parents would rather see their kids as the oppressed and be victims rather than teaching them independent skills, how to speak for themselves, resonate with the freedom of speech and the sharing of diverse ideas. And Republicans, by and large, train their kids 180 degrees from that. Be strong, be independent, use your voice. These freedoms were not free. You need to fight every day to maintain your freedoms in school, in the workplace, in society. And the left does not teach their children these important lessons. And of course, the left predominantly controls the school systems all the way from elementary all the way up to graduate schools at universities. And I think you know that to be true. And I've been a professor, most of my adult career and had to contend with this.
Yeah. No, I accept everything you just said. I don't discard anything you just said. Very interesting. And you make me think, and I'm sure listeners are thinking right now about all of this, but I'm just thinking about what you lay out there as your strategy for the left and the right. I mean, I accept that now with what you say. The victim thing comes to my mind, the victim thing. And I'm thinking about that, Ron, in the terms, and I want people out there to think about this. And now, if you're a moderate or a Democrat or a little left of center and you disagree with that, I want you to reach out to me and tell me, because my goal here is to bridge that gap. You know, Ron, what I constantly want to get people, I want them to invite their Democratic friends. And you got Democratic friends, Ron. I got Democratic. We all got Democratic friends, right? They're our sisters.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we probably can't talk as much politics with them as we do with the people that have our echo chamber, you know, mechanism, right? I mean, the echo chamber, you know how that is, you know?
Sure.
We hang with like-minded
sure.
people. I can tell you things I can't say to my Democratic friends. My Democratic friends will punch me in the face or they'll be pissed off at me, Ron. But I can say things to you that I can't say to them, right?
Well, sure. And you know, Malcolm, here's a great example of something that's been taking place most recently where you have Cory Booker, who's a, you know, far to the left
black
candidate. Right. Well, he's a candidate for the highest office in the land. And what is he pushing right now? He's not pushing the country. He's not pushing the economy. He's not trying to fix anything. What he's pushing are reparations for blacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what blacks want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not, I mean, you know, some people are always going to be just give me some money, but that's not my understanding of what the black community wants. And my black friends, that's not what they want. They want safe communities. That's what they want. Okay, they want to break down gun violence. They want to see a lot less drugs. They want to see a lot less addiction. They want to see more fathers taking ownership of their children. They want to see less unwanted
Amen.
Pregnancy. They want to see more jobs, and they want to be able to buy a house and send their kids to college. That's what blacks want. They could give a damn less about reparations. But when you get people like Cory Booker and people like AOC, they want to hold on to their base by teaching them that they're victims and they are the oppressed. You can never move a person forward with that rhetoric. And it was interesting to see that during during his meetings with blacks, blacks were saying exactly what I'm saying.
You just solidified the victim point, and it was a beautiful thing you put out there about these reparations that are now, and I think they're going to be sorry, the left, for bringing this up. And I'll tell you why. Because there's been incredible progress and incredible momentum with the Black American community. There are many of them now starting to see that they are no different than our white brothers and sisters or Hispanic brothers and sisters, and they are really, they're Americans, first and foremost. And they're starting to see they don't have to be victims, as you just said, Ron. I think you hit it right there. And I think that these political elites who are trying to buy votes, who do it through illegal immigration processes, or now they're doing it through trying to buy black votes through reparations, which is a totally insane process. If I understand this now then, Ron, so the left are playing the victim role, and I think they're doing that in a lot of walks of life, as we're starting to see it with all of the conversations we're having on a national level. But, you know, back to this disrespect and this lack of patriotism. So if they're being taught to play victims, then they look at America as not the same way we look at America. And I think that in part and parcel is going to be the problem. And we were having the struggle and the fight ahead. They've disengaged, Ron, and they're not seeing that patriotism, which would explain why Gallup has a poll that's 74 to 32, upside down backwards on patriotism with Democrats and Republicans. But it also would then feed to the narrative of where the left is in all this. And I don't know how else you can have this conversation and not call the left out, Ron, especially when you see what the Obama administration did with the law enforcement community and what he did with our military as a whole. He tried to gut the military out. I mean, you got to call facts facts. I know some people think I'm not being partisan here, Ron. I'm being factual.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. But, you know, take a look at the play here. The play is to create a victim class. The Democrats and the far left socialists are trying to create a victim class. This has been an age-old problem in the United States on the left. Why do they want to create a victim class? Because victims need saviors. And who are the saviors? It's going to be the left, the progressive left, and it's going to be the socialist agenda. Look at Bernie Sanders. Look at Elizabeth Warren. Look at AOC. Look at Tlaib. Look at Omar. You know, look at Cory Booker. These are all people that present themselves as saviors. And they use a historically proven failed Marxist socialist model. There's not one that works, not one Marxist socialist nation in the world that functions properly and takes care of its people.
The victim role is definitely being played out here. And I think we just proved the case. Now, on a good point, Ron, let's talk a moment here about we're seeing, though, in a lot of these surveys and a lot of the polls, a lot of the research, as you start to dig into it, that actually respect is coming back for law enforcement, though. And we're seeing that also. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about this. And I want to talk to you about it, please, because I my sense is, and a lot of this has come back because of national pride and patriotism. And I have to say to you, a lot of this is probably, Ron, due to the fact that for whatever you think of him, Donald J. Trump is a very patriotic president, probably one of the most patriotic presidents I think we've potentially had in our lifetime. You could argue that with one or so of them, but you agree with that?
Oh, sure. I agree with that. You know, when Barack Obama got elected president, I said, okay, law enforcement goes down the drain. You know, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because it would have been interesting to see how a black president of the United States would move the country forward. And then within just a few months, Malcolm, we had the whole Professor Gates versus Sergeant Crowley, situation, back east. And Professor Gates was 100% wrong. I wrote about this in a chapter of my book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Obama, who came from being a constitutional professor, what a joke. He knew nothing about laws of arrest, detention, searches, seizures, arrests, investigations. And basically, he laid out Sergeant Crowley. Now, Gates had had Obama on his speed dial, literally on his speed dial that day. And all of a sudden, Crowley's being called out. But Crowley was right and Gates was wrong. When that happened, and then the next thing that happened, the Trayvon Martin case, George Zimmerman was one of my cases that I did the forensic analysis on. It's the first chapter of my book, as a matter of fact. When Obama said that Trayvon Martin could have been my son, right after Professor Gates' debacle, I said, okay, here we go. This guy sees everything through the prism of race, and he is absolutely anti-law enforcement. And we just went downhill. All of our numbers tragically went downhill. Numbers of police officers, the statistics of officers being murdered, especially murdered by firearms, went through the roof. We had not seen in 2016, we had not seen this level of police officers murdered in the line of duty since 1974, which was the year that I started law enforcement, and before that, the Bonnie and Clyde days of the early 1930s.
Let's talk about where we're at right now, back to the mood of law enforcement you're talking about here. We're all, you know, there's been a record amount of ambushes over the last several years. There's been, and you never used to see that as much as you started to see it, Ron, where they were cornering our law enforcement officers, and there isn't a week that doesn't go by that I don't hear some sort of a horrific story. And I cringe all the time when I see some young officer, their life, or some veteran for that matter, their life has been snuffed out from some lunatic or some jackass. And I guess, where do you see that? Let's talk about specifically law enforcement a moment here. Where do you see that right now happening? We still have a record amount of officers being killed in the line of duty, do we not?
Well, you know, we don't have a record like we had back in 2016, 2017.
That was a top year, though. That was a top year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And where we are right now, and you know me, Malcolm, this is what I do for a living. Okay. I do all of these officer involves. And I can tell you that as of today, we have had 55 officers killed in the line of duty, of which 24 or less than half were killed by firearms, as compared to 2018, where we had 85 fatalities and 31 killed by firearms. So we are literally down in both fatality areas. Total fatalities, which also include, officers dying from traffic accidents and all sorts of things like that, we're down 35% on total fatalities, and firearm fatalities were down 23%.
You average it out. Okay.
That's exactly right. Now, let me say something very positive that people don't hear in the mainstream media, but you've alluded to it. The respect for law enforcement is growing every single year since President Trump has been in office.
Exactly.
Right now, out of the three top career paths, out of three top professions, out of 10 of the most respected professions, it's military one, and law enforcement and first responders two and three. Do you know where the media is? Down at the bottom, almost. They're second to the bottom. You know who's at the bottom? Congress and the Senate. Does that make sense to you? So you never hear that, okay? You never hear that. It's so disproportionate. You always hear that law enforcement are the bad guys, military are the bad guys, and the media are just, you know, self-gratification, look at the Jim Costas and the Stephanopoulos's and all of these idiots, when in fact it's law enforcement that is right in the military, right in the top two out of the three.
Yeah. Well, I agree with almost everything you said, except present company not included is all I would say to that. And add to that, Your Honor. Okay. What I'm really excited about right now in talking to you, and it actually has given me a jump in my step here, is that when I started out today, it was important to have this good news for me. You know, a lot of times we get on these programs and we always say the sky is falling and the doom and gloom. And I, for one, people get tired of that. I just can't play that doom and gloom stuff every day. It's just not in my makeup here, period. It just isn't, you know. And but you bring up some good points here, Ron, and they are, as I brought up in my opening monologue, which was the fact that that's the good news here, Ron, is that there is a sense of ability out there that people are respecting again now, our law enforcement and our military. In fact, you don't even hear as much as a lot of that kneeling stuff at the game now has sort of even subsided, hasn't it, Ron, a little bit?
Well, and I think so. And, you know, you don't hear it as much. You don't see it as much. It pops up every once in a while.
Exactly.
And of course the media, and these are really, aberrations, but the media needs to keep stirring that pot. And as long as they keep trying to turn this thing back around on Trump, I know just recently, in the World Cup with the United States team, we had that one blonde female, I can't remember her name, Raposa or something like that. And, you know, she didn't take a knee, but she would not, really stand for, you know, the national anthem. That's absolutely, as a former United States athlete, that's absolutely disgraceful. But those, you know, the Colin Kaepernicks and these idiots that, that have no background and they're really the rich entitled elite, you know, these are fake social justice warriors. And I think the people are right on top of that and they don't like it. And I think the patriotism in this country is climbing and we will see, we just have to educate people better, Malcolm, you know, and that's why I go right back to the schools. It's
that's right.
All about the schools and what our kids are being taught.
No, it totally is. I mean, we reveal that and continue down that road every day. But you know, Ron, it's like this. If you turned on a program today, anywhere, a news program, and you started out and they said, think about this, for real people, I'm being funny here, this is real. You turn on a news program and they started to say, you know, I got good news today. I got good news, people. Respect is coming back to law enforcement and military, and people are more patriotic today. And you know what? We're economy's doing fantastic. Now imagine if you turned on one of the MSCNs or network channels, all the loosey-gooseys out there. And imagine, Ron, if they started out with a program like that and said, you know, we actually need to report something today. The economy is just flourishing. Yeah, it's amazing. The numbers here are staggering, people. But more than that, there's a national mood of patriotism. And with our law enforcement, our military, respect, just basic respect is coming back. What do you think would happen, Ron? I mean, by golly, I don't know. Would their listeners or viewers, would they pass out from a cardiac arrest, you think? Or what would happen, I wonder?
Well, you know, just look at what's happening with the mainstream media, which was just recently in a recent poll only had the confidence of 13% of the American people, with politicians at the bottom at 11%. But just look at what's happened with CNN and MSNBC. Their numbers are so far down. Mm-hmm. Even all of those networks combined can't even equate to 50%. Of what Fox viewer share is, okay? And then just take a look at, you know, and then just to jump over to the President of the United States for a second. He just recently announced his candidacy in Orlando, Florida, which is over in your part of the world, and they had 100,000 people trying to get tickets, and 25,000 people were in that stadium, literally packed that stadium. And then at the same time, they had, what was it? Was it like 10 of the presidential candidates getting together and they couldn't get to do a town hall, couldn't get 300 people to listen to them. It wasn't a town hall. They were going to announce something and they couldn't get 300 people. Okay.
Yeah.
For 10 of them.
Right.
I mean, that ought to tell you a little bit of something.
Well, it should, and it should tell people that there is support for this agenda, clearly. A lot of the folks are speaking about, what's like when they're having these town halls, Ron, that you mentioned Fox, that they've been having with a lot of the leftist candidates, the there's a whole bunch of them, the Peter Buzigieg there, the Buzigieg dude and the Beta guy, and they got a whole bunch of pronunciation, name that politician over there. But they've had a lot of these town halls. And I frankly, I don't know how many of our listeners have watched them, but I don't engage with them. I cannot watch them because they're just, it's all smoke and mirrors and it's all show for the media. And I just don't have the passion to be able to tolerate what they're spewing out there. Do you watch them? Do you by chance watch them, those programs?
You know, I just, because, you know, Linda and I have our show on America Out Loud, we try to stay very informed. And so, yeah, we look at these, we look at these things. We listen to CNN every once in a while to see
and
what's
you
going
don't,
on.
You don't get rashes on your body when you do? You don't get breakout with rashes or hives?
No. Believe me,
I do.
I tell Linda, take all the shoes out of the room because I don't want to throw anything at the TV. But I do want to see what the mindset is. To be honest,
I know what the mindset is.
I want to know what the mindset is.
Yeah. We know what the mindset is for sure. It doesn't change clearly, but it is amazing. But this victim mentality that is being played out there is clearly, Ron, being played into all of the things we're talking about right here. And it's being played into the media landscape. And it's what leads the newscast. And that really is like the reparations you pull up. It's a perfect scenario. But there's always one every week, if you think about it, Ron. There's a new crisis every week or every other week that they get behind. But imagine the energy they put behind these crises or these media I call them media campaigns because that's what they are. And they put it out there. They get a week or two out of the miles out of it. Then they go to the next thing. But you know what all this, the reason for this is, Ron? I know what the reason is. I figured out is, by doing it this way here, they don't have to talk about what's good about America. They don't have to talk about the economy. They don't have to talk about patriotism being on the rise. They don't have to talk about the fact that America is turning the corner again. They don't have to talk about any of the respect, the patriotism. They don't have to talk about that, Ron, because they're on to the next crisis. They're on to the next victim role. I mean, that's really what it is, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. But, you know, it's so much important to them to be able to create this underclass of victims, or else their platform doesn't resonate. Because you know what, Malcolm, there's only so many Kool-Aid drinkers out there. And how could you argue economically? We're talking about what's in your pocketbook. How much more money do you have? Are you employed now where you weren't employed before? You know, things are really looking up in America. And all you have to do is go out and eat dinner. Look at the restaurants. They're all full. Mm-hmm. Look at the entertainment venues. They're all full. Before, they weren't full. A lot of these restaurants were going broke. A lot of these entertainment venues were not doing well. Look at what people are able to do now. They're able to travel where they weren't traveling as much. People are happier. There's more money in their pocket. People that didn't have chances to pull themselves up by their bootstraps are able to do that. Now, look at what's happening internationally. Look at these agreements that President Trump is making. And how disgraceful is it for the Mexican Assembly, which yesterday just ratified the Trump trade deal before Congress ratified it? How embarrassing is that when you've got the Mexican government working better with President Trump than the Democratic Party and some of these rhino Republicans are working with the president? It's disgraceful. Look at Europe. Europe is coming back. Linda and I travel to Europe frequently. Look at what is happening in Europe and how they're starting to change. Look at Great Britain. Look how Great Britain is starting to change. It's all because of Trump and his wonderful administration.
And, you know, the other thing is you mentioned Kool-Aid, and I will tell folks that, you know, when I was a young boy, I would drink Kool-Aid. I remember that. It was a bitter taste, and it never tasted really too good. But I gave up Kool-Aid when I was about 7 or 8 years old, people. I gave Kool-Aid up. And I no longer drink Kool-Aid. I don't drink it as an adult. It's been years since I've had a cup of Kool-Aid, quite frankly. Don't like the taste of it. But I think that's an interesting thing to put out in analogy. I'd like to do a program one day on just Kool-Aid, talk about Kool-Aid, the flavors of Kool-Aid and how Kool-Aid can screw up your life here. I'll tell you what here. Dr. Ron Martinelli, the book he wrote, friends, is The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. That book is on Amazon, and it is very much on the America Out Loud bookstore, where you can find a whole array of great books there from all of our experts and guest on our network. Reading books is still fashionable, and it's something we need to do to educate ourselves and educate our kids and all of it.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, we are back with our panel of voices here. Joining us, Bob McCarthy. Bob is a disabled Cold War Marine, a political GOP activist, a founding member of Code of Vets, and involved with Lead Right and all kinds of law enforcement issues, and a great supporter and a commentator on this platform, friends. And another great voice, Susan Price. She's an investigative researcher. Susan's a patriot. She's a veteran advocate and Gold Star mother. Her columns are not to be missed on America Out Loud as a weekly columnist, always bringing up things that help us all live a better life. And that's really what this is all about. Because, listen, we can all gripe and complain all day long, but where does it get us at the end of the day, people? It doesn't get us anywhere, which is why coming into today's program, I wanted to talk about some good news and not just sit on my soapbox and bitch all day long about everything that's wrong with the country, because it gets old after a while and I just lose my patience with it all. So the good news, Bob McCarthy, is this. The good news is that patriotism is coming back. And the public perception of law enforcement and military is also coming back. Now, you heard the interchange with Dr. Ron Martinelli there and myself. It should give some of us a hope. But what I was really interested in trying to uncover there, Bob, was this disparity of patriotism, which is really dumbfounding when you look at the Gallup polls that have been consistent over the last couple of years. And we're talking some pretty strong numbers here of 74% to 32% of patriotism. If you follow the bouncing ball of what we just talked about, Dr. Ron brought out a great point about victimization. Pick up on that point for me, Bob, and talk about that victimization. How do you feel about that? Do you agree with that, or do you have a different viewpoint on that?
Oh, he was point on. I mean, if you think about it, back, remember 9/11. How many flags was everyone flying everywhere? We had them on our cars. We had the shirts. We had everything, the socks, you name it. By 2005, I realized, and I told people, where are the flags? Why am I like the only guy in the neighborhood with the flag still? What's going on? And you could see the turn. It was just turning. And this is, to me, in my mind, it was the colorization of the radical leftists. That's what they want to do. They want to divide us. All of a sudden, the police were bad. Veterans are bad. It slowly turned. And it wasn't overnight. They did it really, really slow. So you wouldn't notice it.
That's right.
You guys noticed it too, right?
Yeah. Well, that's a great point you bring up there. A lot of this stuff is done. And I'm reminding people all the time of that, Bob. These things are not overnight sensations. They're years and the decade in making, you see, you know? It's a cultural shift is what it is. It's a cultural shift. And we've seen that shift. And quite frankly, you can see a lot of things that have happened to America over the last 35 years. If you look at the last 35 years, and Susan, I look at the last 35 years, really, it was after Reagan is where I go. Yeah. It really became, and I'm talking about Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, and into where we are in present day. It has been a trajectory in many cases. It's been odd. The mission has been different from what we grew up with as kids, Susan, don't you think?
Well, Malcolm, it's Agenda 2130. And, you know, that's what they discussed at the Bilderberg meetings. And I just want to mention real quick, that the decline during the Obama administration, because he had Holder in the Justice Department. And when you don't have follow the Constitution, you have a lawless nation, and then you put this off into the media. You know, they wanted to dumb down our Americans of every class because they wanted to make our heroes, that our veterans, and most of our law enforcement, a great percentage, are veterans. They wanted to make them look like the bad guys and just take away what it feels exactly like to be an American. And let me remind people, my son's body, his casket was wrapped in our American flag. And you know what? American patriots such as us, Trump supporters, we're rising up against that enemy that are trying to progress our young minds into the socialists. They want us to become victimized so that the government is our hero. They want to replace our real heroes that give these people a voice. The 1%, less than 1% of America that serves our great nation in uniform, whether it is a Marine, and I, by the way, I'm a daughter of a Marine and the mother of Hoorah. Marine of the Year. So wow. I know, and I'm a veteran, an Army veteran, so I know I live by you. Discipline and the law of the land, and I will not be victimized or let our government be my hero. My son and other men like him are our heroes, given even the radical 90-some percent of the left side, their voice.
Now, they've turned on us. They've turned on veterans. They've turned on all Oath Keepers. I mean, it's just insane. So now, you know, I'm thankful that Ron said it's coming back. And I believe that I feel it, and I'm out there pushing for it the last few years. But, you know, we were victimized, targeted.
Yeah,
you know,
we were.
And it's definitely the same thing. Everyone gets a trophy. Nobody excel
right.
anymore.
That's dumb
right. everyone yep. down. I mean, give me a break.
You know, I often reference on the program here how we start to bring more people into this conversation. Now, Susan, let me stay with you a moment and ask you this here. In regards to the political divide that exists, and it's been here all my life. I mean, we've been a divided nation always. We've always been a divided nation, Susan, because it just is that way. There are people that have a different version or vision of America that is different from what the framers created and different than what we want as true patriots and Americans, who we feel is our gift here from God. Our gift and our unalienable rights come from God, not from government, Susan. There's a difference
right.
here, you see? And people forget
right.
that fact. And I just bring that back a moment here. So what I will ask you is, my goal and purpose of this program here is to bring in more moderates and more people that are left of center. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to invite your Democrat friends in. Now, I say that honestly because we all have
sure.
Democrat friends. We have Democratic friends. We all have them,
yep.
you
yeah.
know, and we have people we love and people who are really good people. And we like to hang. We like to talk. But of course, you have to be careful with politics specifically. But Susan, let's take a moment here. Tell me, how do we get to those people? How do we bring them to the platform here? How do I bring them to the voice of a nation? How do we make a difference? And how do we get them to understand what we call common sense?
Well, they don't know what they don't know, Malcolm, and we have to find a common ground, bring them in, and address certain issues and prove to them what's been said and done or withheld from them information, because really a lot of them want the same things we want. We want to send our children to good schools. We want to live in nice homes and communities. So if we then Trump is doing a great job.
So if our goal is to get to more moderates and more left of center people, how do we do it, buddy?
Well, I'll tell you this. Where I work, all the sales staff and actually their college students, 99% of them are conservative, which goes against the trend. However, the people on the docks, you know, I work in a warehouse, they were all against me when Trump won. And I've been a force on my own to say, it's like this, you're going to hear, oh, you know, this happened, this happened, this happened. no, this is reality. This is reality. That's a lie. That's a lie. And I talk to them daily, and they would ridicule me. But the last 3 years, well, last year and a half.
And what's happened since
they're
then?
They're in the middle. The last year and a half, they're in the middle. Now, well, they come to me. All right, I heard this. What's the real story, Bobby? And I'll say, this is how it is. You were 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Everything you argue with me about, where are we? I'm right. Trump's good. The economy's great. I mean, blacks are happy. They have jobs.
So are you saying they're starting to see the light, Bob? They're starting to see what's happening here? And are they becoming more supportive of the Trump administration is what you're saying?
They don't like his mouth. Tell them, I understand that. Some people, I hear he tweets a lot. Well, yeah. Okay. But to me, I look at it, it's like, he sounds like my father. When I look at Donald Trump and I hear him, he's like my dad who went through Normandy, earned five medals, North Africa, Sicily, this, that. And he said it like it was. Something needed to be said, he said it, and he did what needed to be done. And that's what Trump is doing. He's a man of his word. He's
listen, those people now at your work, those people at your work, those are the kind of people I want to reach in America a lot. I hope you've invited them in already. Have you?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I tell everyone.
All right. So they know, I hope. Yeah. Because those are the people we want to reach, Bobby. Those are the people we want to reach. Yeah.
We can't push them away. We need
to unite. Exactly, buddy. No, we don't want to push them away.
Educate and unite because we're more similar than we are different.
All Bob, right. I'm so pleased to hear you say that, brother. I am so pleased to hear you say
that.
The
reality of life.
But it's not, Bob, it's not.
That differentiates us.
It may be your reality and my reality, but it's not everybody's reality. And that's the problem, Bob. You know, that divisiveness out there is alive and well. And I think that's what we need to take back. We need to stop here and we need to unite. So you're as you hear, friends, the voices here, Bob McCarthy, Susan Price, the message I want to give you here is to, this is the way to unite. It's not to slam your brother and sister or to use evil talk to try to, let's bring people in to the conversation. Let me give you an email address right now for the program here, liberty@americaoutloud.com. Now, what I'd like you to ask you to do is this. Send me your comments or thoughts to Liberty. Send, if you've, again, share it with your Democratic friends and your others and invite them into the program. In fact, I'm interested in putting together a couple of panels and have some of these folks represented on the platform here in conversation and talk with them about what we can do to bridge that gap and how we can bring more people forward. What I'm speaking about here is a movement. It's a movement of great minds. It's a movement of America. It's a movement of patriotism, sure, but friends, more than anything, it's a movement of our salvation, a movement of our future. We are the America that will stand up and salute our flag. We are the America that has respect for our military. We're the America that has respect for our law enforcement. We're the America who sees the shining city on a hill, friends. We are the majesty of America. Friends, it's time for you to get involved and get loud.